All right, open your Bibles with us tonight to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 9. We'll read through verse number 11. Verse number 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to be here, this place, gathered with these people. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching of the Word of God. And so, Lord, we ask you for help. We ask you for unction. We ask you, God, to give us a clear mind and clear speech. God, help us to preach the Word of God in a way that would please heaven, Lord, not in any attempt or effort to get glory to ourselves or to tickle an ear, but God, help us to preach the Word of God in the way that you would have it done. Lord, I pray tonight that the hearer would glean something from this message that would be a help, that would be an encouragement to them, Lord. I pray that you would grant that, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Preaching to you tonight on a thought. Really just a statement, a sentence, if you will, that we take out of our text in the 11th verse. It's found in the beginning of the verse. It says, "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. We started in verse number 9. He asked a question, Paul did, to the church at Corinth. And really, he asked the question knowing full well that they know the answer to the question. But he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And then he says, "Be not deceived." And then he goes on and lists all sort of unrighteous deeds and ways of living and behaving. And then he goes all the way through verse 10, talking on that subject matter, on that train of thought. And then he declares that even among this congregation that he's writing to down at Corinth, that there are some in that number, there are some that make up that congregation who in their previous life, if you will, in their B.C. days, before Christ found them, they would have fit into the context above in verse 9 and 10. He said, "But such were some of you." Such were some of you. And that's what we want to look at tonight. I'm going to preach to you under three different headings. Beginning in verse number 9, he first makes a blanket statement. There's a blanket statement pronounced in verse number 9. Now, again, it's first presented to us in question form, and then he makes an emphatic statement. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He said, what about it? Did you not know? Have you not been saved long enough to know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I want to emphatically say, along with the Apostle Paul tonight, that that hadn't changed. Now, we don't believe, and you know that we don't believe, the Bible doesn't teach a works salvation. Your works doesn't save you. We labored that point this morning when we talked about justification by faith alone in Christ alone. But yet the Bible still emphatically declares that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So how do you take these two truths, that we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, and then this truth that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That seems to present the idea that you're saved by works, that folks who commit unrighteous acts can't be saved. How do you reconcile these two thoughts? Well, you don't have to reconcile them. They've never disagreed with one another. what you have to do is understand both statements being made. The Bible clearly, without any doubt, teaches that we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, and we covered that ground thoroughly this morning. So what are we to make of this when it says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, we are to remember the things, one of the things at least that we talked about this morning, that even though we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, yet when we are justified, God does make us a new creature in Christ Jesus when he reconciles us to himself. The Holy Ghost of God immediately takes up permanent residence in our heart, and we're the recipients of a new nature. Now, we have been the possessors of the Adamic nature, which we still have, but then we have a new nature, and it's the nature of Christ. And that new nature within us declares and demands that we are to live righteously. And it is as natural, listen, it is as natural for a Christian to live a righteous life as it is for a rooster to crow. Have you ever wondered when little fish are born? Nobody give them swimming lessons. They just know how to swim. Little roosters, when they're hatched, they don't even get full feathers on. It's the nastiest sound you've ever heard in your life. Little old young roosters trying to learn how to crow. It's terrible. But he knows he's a rooster, but nobody's told him that. But he's trying to crow because he just knows he's a rooster, and that's what roosters do. Nobody's told him that. Well, the same is equally true with a Christian. When you are born from above, when you're born again, you don't have to read a rule book telling you all the do's and the do nots. God's law is written upon your heart, and it follows that righteous deeds are to be daily in the life of a child of God. And so it is 100% true that we're not saved by works. We're justified by grace through faith. We're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. We know that, but because that we have been justified, we now are being sanctified through our works. Our works are not saving us, but the fact that we've been saved produces good works in our life. And the Bible is absolutely unfamiliar to this concept of the carnal Christian. You hear people talk about that these days. They say, oh, well, I know I'm not right with God, but I'm saved. I'm just a carnal Christian. You ought to introduce yourself to the Bible. It's never met one. The Bible talks about when people are saved, how that they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. How that when the love of God is shed abroad in their heart, how that they become that brand new being, that brand new creature. And old things pass away and all things are become new. And so he asks this question. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, be not deceived. And that's what we want to say to you tonight. Be not deceived. This idea of thinking that somehow a sinner's prayer can be said as a little child or a young adult or whatever the age would be, and yet you continue on in your sin, and there's no change in the heart, that there's no love for God, there's no love for the Word of God, no love for Christ, no love for the church, the people of God. None of that happens in our life, but because we said some little prayer, somehow we feel that we are right with God and that we're saved. That's not true. That's not biblical Christianity. He said, be not deceived. And then he gets into the particulars of it. He made a blanket statement to begin with. There was a blanket statement pronounced. But then in verse 9, in the latter part of verse number 9, he gets more pointed and more clear. There's a specific plight that's given here. He says, be not deceived. And he starts going down a list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He lists off 10 different brands of sinners, if you will. He said none of them is going to inherit the kingdom of God. None of them. And we'll not exhaust each one of them. We probably won't even look at every one of them. But he said that you're not to be deceived. There'll be no fornicators in heaven. There'll be no idolaters. They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. No adulterers. No effeminate. That literally means perverts or homosexuals. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves, covetous, drunkards. You know what all of these things are. Thieves, drunkards, covetous. Revilers, extortioners, none of them, he said, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we just want to say that's right. We want to say that the scripture is true. We agree with that. I want to say this too. That's not to say that a child of God cannot fall into sin and commit one of those sins. It's not to say that. When he names off all of these idolaters, effeminate, thieves, covetous, drunkards, and so forth, he's talking about that being the pattern of their life. Talking about a consistent way of living. David was an adulterer, but yet he was a man after God's own heart. David was a murderer, yet he was a man after God's own heart. What's the difference? Why does David get a free pass? David doesn't get a free pass. But that was the exception rather than the rule in his life. It was not the pattern in his life. And so all of these are named off. That's not really the ground that we want to cover tonight. So we want to get along with our thought here down to verse number 11. It says, and such were some of you. That's our thought tonight. And such were some of you. What is he talking about? Well, we know what he's talking about. He's talking about these 10 different varieties of sinners, if you will, that we read about in the latter part of verse number 9 and verse number 10. He's talking to the church at Corinth. Now, granted, it is the carnal church at Corinth. Granted, they are some very carnal people there at Corinth. But the same would be true at Philippi. The same would be true at Galatia. The same would be true at Ephesus. That such were some of you. And the same is true tonight at Unity Baptist Church. And such were some of you. And I think sometimes we get too big for our britches as Christians, if we could say it that way. I think we forget sometimes exactly what we were when God found us. I think sometimes that we get beyond that. I think sometimes we've been dressed up for church so long we forget what we looked like before we got dressed up, if we could say it that way. He said, and such were some of you. What about that? Down yonder at First Baptist Corinth, there were some of those that were fornicators. Some of them were idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. That's sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers. There's some of all of them there. You know, this may put some of you out with me, but I'll say it anyhow because it's in the Bible. You know what amazes me with American Christianity, and really I suppose it's that way the world over, that we have certain sin. In other words, when a person's lost and out in sin and they're a drunkard, man, we'll pray for a drunkard. That God would save him. We'll pray for an adulterer and a fornicator. That God would save him, and we ought to. It's our solemn obligation and duty. But what about those effeminate? I said, what about those effeminate? What about those abusers of themselves with mankind? I don't hold that sin in any higher regard than you do. But I'm going to say to you tonight that it's hypocritical for us to be more ready to go to an altar of prayer for a drunkard or for a reviler or for an extortioner or for a thief than we would be for a homosexual. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it'd have still been right if you hadn't have said that's right. They need Jesus just like anybody else needed Jesus. They need Jesus like the most vile and putrid among us. And I'll be honest with you. Now, I don't understand all about that. You hear me real well tonight. I don't want you to leave saying I said something I didn't say. I'll come eat supper with you tomorrow night. Hear me well. I've never understood that part of human depravity, how that it can express itself in that way. But that is simply human depravity expressing itself in that way in a particular person. We're all equally depraved. When Adam fell, the human race fell in Adam. And you didn't get a simple portion of Adam's fallen nature. Buddy, you got the entirety of the wheel. Everything was left to you. I mean, you got every part of Adam's fallen nature. And listen, what I'm about to tell you, now, if that thing's got seatbelts on it, put it on, because most folk don't like this. I've preached this all over the country, I reckon, and people look sour every time when I say this. But now, if you can biblically disprove it, I want you to come and tell. I'm not saying it in a cocky, arrogant way. I'm serious as a heart attack. If you can biblically disprove what I'm saying to you, I'd love to know it. But I don't think you can. If it is true, and the Bible states that it's true, that we inherited our fallen nature from Adam, we inherited it not in part, but in whole, from Adam, what is it that makes the drunkard a drunkard? It's his fallen nature that he inherited from Adam. What is it that makes the thief a thief? It is that he inherited it in his fallen nature from Adam. And going down the line, and when you come to the effeminate, the abusers of themselves with mankind, the homosexuals, if you will, where did they get that from? They inherited it from their father Adam in the fall. Now, you didn't take an issue with any of that so far, but listen to me. If you inherited all of it, and he inherited all of it, y'all see where we're going. You see where we're going. You said, Brother Ronnie, I ain't ever wanted to kiss another big, ugly, hairy man. I'm glad you hadn't, and I hadn't either. I hadn't either. But listen, the depravity that you inherited from Adam has expressed itself in you in a different way. That's right. Some of us might have been drunkards. Liars, thieves, whatever. That was how the depravity expressed itself in us. And the abusers of themselves with mankind and so on and so forth, homosexuals, that's how it has expressed itself in them. Hear me well. I'm not giving a free pass to anything. The effeminate homosexual tonight, if they don't get saved by the good grace of God, they're headed straight to hell. Just like the drunkard. Just like the liar, the thief, and all the others that are listed. But it'll be the same hell. It'll be the same hell that they go to. But yonder at First Baptist Corinth, there were some former drunkards there. There were some former thieves, some former fornicators, some former adulterers there. Even some former effeminate, some former homosexuals there. But they'd been saved. They'd been changed. He said, and such were some of you. What about it? Do you ever stop and just think about what you were when God saved you? And such were some of you. You know, the sad thing for Brother Ronnie is I don't think I fit into just a single one of these 10 that are given. I think there's more than one of them that would aptly describe me and my depraved nature. I would not fit into just one of those 10 categories. And I'm going to say the truth is that some of you would have to, if you're going to be honest tonight, you'd say the same thing. I could have fit the bill for more than one of those categories. And there we were, lost and undone without God, headed to hell. And God in mercy and grace cared for our soul, reached down and saved us. Bless His name. He said, and such were some of you. Look at the good part here, verse 11. And such were some of you. Look at that word, but. Isn't that a beautiful word? There's three but ye's in this text. And it's in reference to the fact that they were And I'm thankful that they were that. They are not that now. And such were some of you. Not, and such are some of you. Such were some of you. I don't have as many pet peeves as I used to. Most of my hobby horses, I rode them to death. And so I just try not to have as much of that stuff. I try not to let certain things bother me like I used to. But Brother Matt, I'm going to be honest with you. There's one pet peeve of mine, and it's more than a pet peeve because it's a slap in the face to the power, the saving power of Christ. It disturbs me highly. And I know a lot of people do it out of ignorance, and they're well-intended. But they'll say, I've been clean. I've been sober now for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever. God saved me, but I'm still a recovering alcoholic. I'm still an addict. That's what they told them down yonder at the AA meeting, at the NA meeting. But that's not biblically sound. That's not biblically correct. I was a lot of those things. Were past tense, but I am not those things now. Hey, it's offensive to me for somebody to talk that way. You know what that means? I'm ashamed of it. And some people probably think I mention it too much. But listen, if that's true, if it is once a drunkard, always a drunkard, then I'm still a drunkard. But I'm not a drunkard. I don't have to wake up every morning and read some literature from AA and talk myself out of going and buying a case of beer. I don't have to do that. I don't want it. I don't need it. You know why? Because that's what I was. It's not what I am. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why what I told you this morning, he said, they don't need to try to salvage this thing and give it a salvage title. It's a total loss. Let's start over from scratch. And that's what he done. And that's why I'm not what I used to be. And that's why you're not what you used to be. You might have used to have been a lot of things. You might have used to have been a low-down, dirty dog, not fit for what it would have took to put you out of your misery. But if God ever reached down in mercy and grace and pulled you up out of the pit and saved your soul, that's not what you are anymore. You're a child of God. You're washed in the blood. You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God that it's that way. I'm mighty glad that it's that way. I'm not what I used to be. He said, and such were some of you, but ye, these three but ye's, but you're washed. Don't it feel good to be washed? It feels good to be washed. I'm of the personal opinion, and you probably don't share this opinion with me, but I feel like that everybody ought to have the privilege of riding the back of a garbage truck a few days. You learn about people. You learn a lot about people when you pick up their garbage. I didn't know there was so many drinking deacons in Pontotoc County. I'll never forget, and I'm going somewhere with this. I'll never forget when I hired in with the county the first day there, I stepped on the back of that garbage truck, and I didn't do that job 10 minutes till I said, I have made a terrible mistake. It was hot. There was maggots everywhere. The smell was putrid. And I'll never forget how bad I just wanted to get off of that truck and get home. I'd been looking at maggots all day, and lo and behold, if I didn't come home, she had rice for supper. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. It didn't matter, though. I didn't have an appetite. I didn't want to eat. I'd been in filth all day long. And here's the thing about it, Miss Ann. You know what was the most wonderful thing that day? And it was the same every day from then. Now, you adapt to it over time. And sin's out of the way. You'll adapt to sin over time. You'll get used to it. When I first hired in, I couldn't eat. I wanted to take 3 showers when I come home. But, you know, after I'd been there 2 or 3 months, I could sit at the landfill waiting to unload and eat a bologna sandwich and watch the buzzard swirl. Didn't bother me a bit in the world. But listen to what I'm finna tell you. I spent many days on the back of a garbage truck with the heat index 95, 100, 105 degrees, sweating miserably, filthy, putrid, nasty, stinking stuff. Some days pouring down rain on you all day long. Here's what I kept in my mind all day, Miss Lisa. When I get home, I can get clean. When I get home, I can get a bath. When I get home, I can get washed. And I kept that mindset for 5 years. If I can just get home, if I can just get home and get washed. Did you see what he said in our text here? But you're washed. See, you can't appreciate a good bath until you've ever been really nasty. I know I've already grossed most of you out. Most of you's done cut me off, not even listening anymore. But you've never been really dirty until you've worked on the back of a garbage truck. There's nothing like picking up a bag of garbage and having something that a stranger ate a week ago that's been sitting in a garbage can for a week, busting out of that bag and splattering all over you. And you literally cannot stand yourself. You get that kind of nasty. Y'all forgive me. I know I'm being expressed very clear here. You get that kind of nasty, you'll love a bath. It's under, you'll scrub till the hide comes off. Now let's get out of the realm of garbage trucks and maggots. I know you're glad for that. Let's get over into the realm of sin. You know what we just did? We jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. As filthy and nasty as all of that description was that I just gave you about my former occupation, spiritually we were much nastier than that. We were much filthier than that, much more putrid than that. But the Bible said, but ye are washed. There's nothing like that feeling of coming in so nasty, so hot, so miserable, and just getting clean and stretching out across the bed. It's a wonderful feeling. He said, we've been washed spiritually. You remember when he washed you? That's why when you got saved, you've heard me talk about it, I felt like the next day the sky was an abnormally blue, how it seemed like the trees, the leaves was just waving at me and congratulating me on being born again. That's why. Because we remember it's still fresh on our mind, Brother Ernest, what it was like to be dirty. And you know what's wrong with some of us tonight? We forgot what dirty feels like. We forgot what putrid, nasty, stinking, dirty sin feels like. He said, but you washed. Here's your second, but ye. He said, but ye are sanctified. He said, I've separated you from all of that. I've called you apart from all of that. Aren't you glad that getting saved is more than just going to heaven when you die? Aren't you glad that getting saved is not only a guarantee of heaven when you die, but it's a change right here and now? It is a new creature now. It's a separation from sin now. He said, but you're sanctified. Here's your third, but you're justified. We talked about justification this morning. It's as if it never happened. It's as if charges were never levied against us. We are not pardoned. We're not pardoned. We are not tried and found innocent. Justified means it's as if charges were never levied against us. He said, but such were some of ye. Do you remember what it was like back when, however long it's been since you've been saved? I guess Miss Beth's about the youngest Christian in here. You've been saved about a year now, haven't you, Miss Beth? Wouldn't that be about right? And a lot of the rest of us in here have been saved longer than that, some substantially longer than that. Do you know what you ought to do every once in a while? You ought to drive by the old home place. You ought to take a look around. You ought to remember what it was like. Amen. To be without hope and without God in this world. A few days ago, a week or so ago, I stopped by the old barn, my uncle's barn, where I grew up, and I walked around through there, and I could remember everything, where exactly, where it was supposed to be. And you know, Brother Boozer, it's a strange thing. I hadn't been in that barn probably in over 30 years. But while I sat there, I walked in the horse stalls and then down yonder where we'd feed the cows and over yonder to the catch and so forth. And in my mind, it's like I went back and I was a little boy again. It just took me back. Sometimes we ought to go back around the old home place ourselves. You understand what I mean when I say that? I'm not talking about going back and doing any of the things you used to do, behaving as you used to behave. I'm talking about just in your mind, if nothing else. Just sit down and think about where you really were when God found you. You know what that'll do for you? Well, firstly, it'll renew and refresh your appreciation for the grace of God in your life. We hadn't always been like we are tonight, folk. You hadn't always been prettied up and on your best behavior, now have you? I hadn't always been in a suit and tie either. It'll give you a fresh appreciation. It'll renew your appreciation for the grace of God in your life. And then, a couple other things, and I'll be done. It will give you a better understanding of where lost people are. It'll help you to understand why they do what they do, why they act like they act, why they carry themselves like they do. It'll help you in that regard. And then thirdly and finally, it'll give you a renewed burden for lost people. Do you remember when you first got saved, when you first got washed, when you first got justified, when you first got sanctified? Do you remember what you wanted? You wanted to see other people saved. You wanted other folks to experience what you had experienced, to feel what you had felt, to know what you know. It was the best thing that you'd ever got in on in your life, and you just wanted to be sure that everybody that you knew, everybody that you loved, that they had that same experience. That's why, Sister Willistine, that's why y'all had those cottage prayer meetings. That's why you prayed so for your daddy, because you wanted daddy to know what you knew. You wanted daddy to have what you had. But sometimes, if you'll pardon my expression, sometimes we get too churched for our own good. We get detached from the reality of what we were while we were still out yonder in sin. Can I remind you, such were some of you. We were some of these things listed in this text. But God, who is rich in mercy and grace, for His great love wherewith He loved us, He touched us, He quickened us, He saved us. And it's by His grace and by His grace alone that we're saved. Could I encourage you tonight? That's all I'm trying to do, is to encourage you tonight. Just take a few minutes and reflect back on what your condition was before God saved you. You might not have been an alcoholic. You might not have been an adulterer. You may have just been a young one. But you were lost. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You had no hope if God didn't extend mercy. Don't ever forget where you were when God found you. But such were some of you. God, help us to remember where He found us so that we can appreciate His grace in our life, so that we can understand the plight of the sinner, and so that we can have a greater burden for the sinner. Let's all stand, if you would. Brother Ernest, you and Sister Willistine, come ready. It's a hymn of invitation, if you would. Let's bow our head for a moment and pray. Father, thank You tonight for allowing us to be here. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for the truth that it is. God, I thank You that as we read down through these verses tonight, we can settle in on several of those descriptions of sin and know that that was once our description of ourselves. But Lord, thank God for verse 11. Thank You that it's past tense. That's what we were. It's not what we are. You've made us a new creature. But God, help us never get too big for our spiritual britches. Help us never get to the place that we seem to detach and grow foggy in mind and memory as to where we were when You found us. God, we were in a pit. We were without hope, without God in this world. Lord, help us to ever be mindful of that. Help us to often meditate on it, that we might truly love and appreciate the grace and mercy that You've extended to us, that we might better understand the lost people round about us, God. They're just as we were when we were lost. And then, God, that it'd give us a greater burden for lost people, that we would sincerely and honestly care and be broken and burdened and shed tears and lose sleep over the fact that people that we know, people that we care about, people that we love are dying and going to hell just like we were. Oh God, help us, Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, to have a burden for the lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.